Presentation about the extension framework for OpenOffice, and I'm happy to be here and to give you an overview of the capabilities, what you can do with extensions in OpenOffice, and especially in the context of deployment and maintenance of extensions. I won't give you too many or no technical details about how to develop extensions. That is covered by a lot of examples and documentation available on the website on openoffice.org. I will more focus on the deployment and maintenance of extensions. So before I start, I will give you some more information about myself. I started working on the project in 1997, so more than 9 years, and I started working for the Star Division company and today for Sun Microsystems. I was one of the three initial developers who have started to develop the UNO component model, and today I'm technical lead at Sun Microsystems and responsible for capabilities in the Office and OpenOffice. And I'm the project lead of the API project on OpenOffice. So probably all of you know that the OpenOffice suite gets more and more popular, and it's not independent of the growing popularity of the Open Document format. And in the same way, the demand to extend or customize the Office is growing as well. As well, the integration, the demand to integrate other applications or connectors to other applications into the Office. And before I will move forward to more OpenOffice related extension stuff, I will do a short excursion to other popular open source projects to get an impression how useful extensions can be. So, Firefox, Thunderbird, I'm sure many of you use these applications, and they have a really nice extension support. It's really easy and smooth to use, and you can simply drag and drop extensions on Firefox or Thunderbird to install it, and they have a really huge extension base, and it's great to customize or extend these applications with some new functions which are not directly part of the initial setup. The same for NetBeans. They also support extensions, and NetBeans and Eclipse both provide a complete platform where you can build your own rich client applications on top of it. And it's in both examples, you build some kind of extensions. In NetBeans it's called plugin, and in Eclipse as well, so formerly NetBeans modules. But both applications do, it's more or less the same concept. You create plugins on a core, and you create plugins on some core stuff and have the ability to extend step by step the whole application. And all these applications have some common features to maintain and deploy extensions. So necessary are version numbers and unique identifiers, and the capability to define dependencies to special versions of the application or to other plugins or modules, so that you can build a complete dependency tree to package your application later. And really nice is the online update capability in all of these applications. You can automatically check for extensions, but it is also possible to do some manual checks, and it's really easy to get an upgrade to newer versions of these extensions, and that is very, very easy for for end users to maintain their initial installation without a complete new setup. So I asked myself, what makes extension interesting for users as well as for developers? And for users, probably you have your own opinion about that. And I listed only some of my ideas, which some of the items which came in my mind when I think about the question. And from a user's point of view, it's really easy to adapt or extend applications with some new functionality, or to adapt it simply to your personal needs. So maybe there is some special functionality missing, or your daily work depends on some special functionality which is not already part of the initial installation but is available as an extension, or maybe available from a professional service provider who provide some extension connectors to existing applications. You can simply adapt your application, extend your application to provide this functionality. And it's easy to update to new versions, and that is great for the end user because it's really simple. From a developer's point of view, I think especially in the context of huge applications like OpenOffice, probably many of you know that it's not so easy to get started with the core source code in OpenOffice. And developing extensions provide a really easy start, entry point to get started with the project. So listen, you don't need any deep core knowledge of the whole application because you work in more or less an encapsulated working area. You program against stable APIs and documented APIs, and that is a lot of easier than walking through some source code and find a way through the jungle. And when you develop some extensions, I think you get a really fast a feeling of success, or you will have early feeling of success, and that is really motivating for the daily work. If you have some early success, it's always great, and you are motivated to go the next steps. And it's obviously that you can reuse all the existing functionality which is already available in the application with the components of the API, or maybe other extensions which provide also APIs which you can use, or for example in the examples of NetBeans or Eclipse, the huge platform which you can build your own application on top of it. And and it's really interesting to build interfaces or connectors to other applications, and that is, from my point of view, one of the important things to, especially for professional independent software vendors, to extend their existing applications with some kind of interfaces, connectors to especially OpenOffice to easily integrate and interact with the Office application. For example, some kind of integration to an existing content management system. Could be really nice to exchange the existing save menus or load menus with some extension to directly stream into a content management system or retrieve documents from a content management system. And so you have the possibility to adapt existing business workflows in companies to the needs in the companies, but you can use the Office application with all the available functions, and that is really, really easy and powerful as well. So, what it is today in, or what does extensions mean in OpenOffice today? Today we are able to deploy different kind of functionalities or things into the office. So we can deploy scripting libraries within the different script supported scripting languages, BASIC, Python, Java, JavaScript, and we can deploy complete functional enhancements, more or less implemented Uno components in supported languages, Java, C++, Python, and components can integrate completely new functionality where you can define new interfaces, new connectors, say bring new APIs into the office which can be used from other extensions later on. But you can also simply implement some special service provider interfaces like CalcGetIns to build, to develop built-in functions for the spreadsheet application very easily, or add-ons and filters, and especially with the upcoming version 2.0.4, the add-ons feature which is already available in 2.0, we have introduced some more functionality to be able to develop more complex add-ons. So we have support of list boxes in toolbars and image buttons, bin fields, and some more controls which were not available before. It's definitely worth to take a closer look in these new features when the documentation will be available. It takes some time. Yeah, and we have also other service provider interfaces like spell checkers, grammar checkers, or things like that. You can easily develop this kind of components and can easily deploy them in existing office installations, and that is really powerful. And also new with the upcoming version 2.0.4 is the possibility to deploy non-code content into existing office installations. So for example, think about a collection of templates for a special occupational group, so for example for lawyers or other groups. So there can be special templates can be really useful, and you can simply prepare this kind of extension templates, package them in one extension, and can easily deploy this kind of packages in different installations. The same with gallery items, and I haven't really tested it before, but I expect AutoText works as well. And I think this is one really cool feature with the upcoming version, because you don't have to be a real developer. It's easy for you as a user as well to prepare such packages. Or let me say, it's easy to prepare the content, because packaging is currently not really supported by any tooling, but it's some kind of wizard kind came just in my mind to support the packaging stuff. We will see. And yeah, I think this is really a huge improvement with the upcoming version 2.0.4, and we have changed the focus to provide more functionality for extension developers in the future. And stay tuned and track the mailing list on OpenOffice to get more information in the future. So, how does the extension package look today, or with the upcoming version? It's still a simple zip container, but we have introduced a new file extension. Maybe you will ask why we have introduced again a new file extension. And one reason for that is to identify more or less a new kind or a new generation of extension, because as I mentioned before, we have changed the focus a little bit for extension development, and we will provide more and more features around deployment and maintenance of, of extensions in the future. And yeah, we want to have some clear start point to, and I hope that we don't confuse our end users at the moment who maybe have already developed some extensions. But it should be, yeah, it should be easy to migrate. What is part of an extension package? We have manifest XML file to describe the content, which was already part of the older UNU PKG packages introduced with 2.0. In the manifest XML, we simply describe the deployable and installable items of a package. In the beginning, the older, the first kind of packages, zip packages, yeah, there was a mechanism implemented to search the whole package for deployable items, which could be improved and speed up. Think about huge packages where you only have some small entry points in your own implementation, and with this description file you can directly point the package manager, the installation mechanism to the right items, and the deployment is get speed up. With 2.0.4, we introduce a new additional description XML file. I'm not really happy with these both files, with these two files. I hope we will get rid of at least one of them, probably the manifest XML file, to put all this information only in one file, because it would make the packaging process much easier. We will see. And part of the description XML file is first, and it's already implemented in a simple way, a license feature, because especially for professional service providers, it's important to show some license for the extension, and maybe for the other applications where the extensions are built, are add-ons for. I was involved in some kind of project where we collect extension stuff for the office, and it was no huge stuff, it was only some tiny extensions, but displaying the license for all this tiny stuff was the most important thing for this professional service providers. And yeah, it was really interesting for me to see that was the most important thing. So we wrapped the old package installation mechanism with simply some kind of script to show and accept or decline, accept or reject the licenses for these tiny packages. And now we introduce some more official and easy to use license concept for extensions. Yeah, and last but not least, the content which provides the functionality for the extension. The implementation of components or the script and macro libraries and things like that, or simply the templates. So here I repackaged and reorganized some old example which I have simply implemented to test some things. It's a small calculator add-on, and it's implemented as a Java UNU component. And the typical content can be the description XML, where I have some references to the license files, which are also part of the extension package. The manifest file, where I have references to the Java component and also the XCU file, because configuration files needs to be identified so that the package manager knows that he has to do some special integration stuff with the configuration files, and some resources. But that can be a typical package to integrate some easy and not really powerful extension stuff into the office. Yeah, the man already mentioned license feature, it's really simple at the moment. We will improve and extend all this deployment stuff step by step in for the future versions. And with the upcoming version, we introduce a simple license feature, which simply accept or reject, let the user accept or reject the license, and either you accept this, the package gets installed, otherwise not. And it does simply show the content of the license file without any kind of formatting. So it's really simple. It's based on a UTF-8 format, but we have already integrated some support of localized files. You have seen in the description XML. No, you don't have seen it yet. And this localized feature supports some kind of algorithm to find the best fitting locale for an extension package. You will see it later when we take a look on the description file. And to have a fallback, the vendor has to define one default locale as a fallback if the matching algorithm failed. It's really easy, but I think just in time, powerful enough to get started with extension development and have some license feature integrated. We have also the possibility to identify a flag to support two different modes of accepting the license. For example, for some professional vendors, it could be necessary that every user has to accept the license, so you would define the user mode for the user mode flag in the description XML, so that every user has really to accept the license. Otherwise, if it's not so important that every single user accept the license, the administrator can accept the license, or it would be enough if an administrator would accept a license during the installation. You can use the shared mode flag, or you can set this flag, and then only the administrator or the person who installed the extension package into the shared layer has to accept the license. And if such a package is installed by a single user in the user layer, every single user has accept the license as well. But it can simplify the deployment of extensions in network installation environments. So a typical description XML file can look like this. You have references to different localized license files. And here you have the user, the flag. Here I have set the admin flag, so it's easy deployable in a shared layer. For example, if I use the user flag here, it's not possible to install such an extension into a shared layer. And the default locale is just the in. And in this case, if this package gets installed in, for example, an office with a locale, English, New Zealand, for example, ENNZ. The searching algorithm for the locale would take the ENOS locale, because we don't have exactly a matching locale EN and Z. And so the first one which match best would be used. In this case, it would be ENOS. And if you would have an office installation which, for example, a French locale, the default locale DE would be used. So for example, if you install such an extension during the installation, the dialog pops up showing the license. You have to scroll down, have to accept it or decline it, and the package gets installed or not. It's quite easy, but in the first step it should be enough for most use cases. So to provide a more clear picture between the relations of the different packages in the past and in the future, the new OXT packages are introduced with the upcoming version 2.0.4. They can't be deployed in older Office versions because it's now the start for the new generation extensions. The UNU PKG packages were introduced for OpenOffice 2.0, but these older packages continues to be deployable in newer versions for compatibility reasons, and yeah, it's simply for this reason. And if you have some requirements, or if you want to create a package which should be deployable in older versions, it is recommended that you rename it, or that you name it UNU PKG to be flexible and don't depend on the new version. What is planned in the future? As I mentioned before, we will go step by step. We don't provide a complete, full functional solution in this one release. We will extend it step by step. One important thing for the next version is the 2.1 version, which is planned for end of the year. We will provide online update for extensions and probably some kind of manual check for extensions. We will also introduce unique identifiers and the versioning schema for packages. And of course, I forgot to mention, we have also introduced some kind of dependency mechanism in already in 2.0.4, but we haven't really defined any real dependency in the Office where you can depend on. So packages developed for 2.0.4 implicitly have a dependency on exactly this version 2.0.4, and it's planned for the next version to introduce the first real dependencies where you can depend on. But this is, depends on real demand. If nobody has really a demand to depend on exactly this version, it can be shifted to a later version as well. So we will provide some kind of system integration. Means simply we will do some, probably have some MIME type registration, so that a simple double click on a Windows system should install the extension. Since probably the easiest way is to bring up the extension manager user interface and let the user add and register the extension package. And a really important step is to rename the package manager menu entry to the extension manager, because there were in the past some confusion about the term extensions, add-ons, add-ins, and you can see extensions as the overall term to describe extensions for the Office. And add-ons, for example, are a special kind of extension, means extensions with some kind of new which some kind of user interface integration in existing menus, or bringing new menus with the extension, new toolbars, things like that, called the add-ons. Add-ins are the built-in functions for the spreadsheet applications, and extensions also covers all these different kind of extensions, including template packages, these new non-content extensions. And I should also mention here that we will improve our existing toolkit with some missing controls. So the toolkit was some kind of a huge feature set which was not really maintained in the past. So we have searched for different other possibilities to improve or provide functionality to bring our own dialogues, user interfaces into the Office. But it's not easy, because all the existing code base is really the VZL stuff, the current toolkit is really deeply integrated in the whole code, and we cannot easily exchange it with some other functionality. So we decided to move one step forward and improve the existing toolkit, and probably we will find some other solution in the future. But with the toolkit you have the possibility to provide more complex dialogues with extensions, which looks in the same way as all as the rest of the user interface in the office, which is important and much better than simply have some Java dialogues, for example, which are also nice, but looks a little bit different on the different platforms. And so using the toolkit is especially for probably for professional and service vendors more powerful and better. What else? Later we plan a redesign of the extension manager user interface, because it's currently it's a little bit it includes too much technical detail, so you can look into extension packages, but for the end user it's not really interesting to know what exactly is inside the extension packages. So we plan to do some redesign of the user interface to maybe the reason for that is to simplify the user interface. So we need some more information about versions of the extensions and maybe available updates. So there's some things planned for simplification of the user interface. The next point is, which is also from my point of view important, is some kind of designing of extension packages. Also mainly focused for professional service vendors. But I can also think about a repository on OpenOffice where you can sign packages, and if you install the signed packages, you can be sure that it is that we have QA these extension packages and give some kind of guarantees that it works. Yeah, automatic notification for updates is one further step later. It's simply a cool end user feature to notify the user if there is some or if there were. If there are some updates for the already installed extensions available. So a further nice feature will be the extension to support extension options in the already existing tools options dialog. So we will probably, it is not really defined yet, but we will probably create a new category for extensions, and then every extension will have a single entry, and you have the possibility to integrate your own option panes for exactly your own extension, and we will provide some hopefully easy to use interfaces to achieve this. Also a really important point is the plan to provide some framework to provide extendable help for extensions. That means simply that we have the possibility to easy create new help content and can easy deploy this new help content with extensions in the Office help system, and it appears somewhere in the Office help system, maybe also in a new under a new category extensions. And that would have the advantage that we only have one entry point in the help system. Currently, you can define your own menu entries in the help menu, but it doesn't scale at the moment. If you install 20 extensions, all extensions with a single help menu entry, so you will get a huge help menu, which is not really usable. And that is, I think, a really important improvement. We have started work on some new localization support, especially in the context and the usage of the toolkit, because currently it's not really possible to use some kind of resource files to localize new dialogues. So you can do it, but you have to do it on your own, and we definitely have to provide some support in this direction. And maybe it comes earlier. We will see how the work is going on. And last but not least, at the moment, we already have to think about a more powerful license framework for example, maybe other applications use an already existing license framework. There are several license frameworks available somewhere in the web. You find a lot of information about license frameworks. And we don't want to implement an own license framework. But the simple license framework is an easy possibility to support licenses. And if you need more, maybe you want to provide some kind of evaluation version, which is usable 3 months, for example. You have to use some other external license frameworks. And we plan to integrate some kind of hooks, interfaces, which are called during the installation, and then you have to implement these interfaces and do all the stuff which is necessary to support these license frameworks. So it is a more generic approach to support different license frameworks, whatever the developer offer extension needs. But this is will be done on demand. So if you have requirements, join the mailing list and give us feedback. Let us know your requirements, and we will see when and how we can achieve this. So this is more or less a private vision, so where we can go in the future. I don't know if we would sometime go in this direction, but if you remember the keyword RTP, rich client platform, in the context of NetBeans and Eclipse, I think we already have some technology in the office which can be used in the same direction. So we have the UNO component model, and we already have it available as a standalone UNO runtime environment where you can build applications on top of it. It was the reason for extracting the UNO runtime environment was exactly the requirement from an external company who contacted us if we can provide this functionality standalone, and they build a complete office independent application framework on top of UNO, because UNO provides the best performance and feature set for them. They have, it was really interesting. They have made they searched in the internet for some component technology, find several, did some independent evaluation, and came back to us and want to use UNO. It was really interesting for me to see that we don't have talked with them before. It was really great. A solution can be some kind of UNO runtime environment plus some currently missing infrastructure, because it's not really complete to build extensions easy on top of it. So you have to know more technical details at the moment. It is possible, but not so easy. So there is some infrastructure, or there would be some infrastructure missing. And then you have a modularized set of extensions which build the whole Office application, for example. It's a future vision. Probably we will never reach this state, but we will see. The advantage of this approach would be easy update for smaller parts of the office and small deployments of only a specific function set of the office functionality would be also possible. For example, if you want to integrate some office functionality in your own application, it would be able to package some writer light application, for example. Things like that would be possible, and I like this is important, but we will see. So if you are interested in development of extensions, you should join the extension project to get more info about the ongoing work which I mentioned and the plans in the future. You should visit the project page, extension.openoffice.org. Laurent promised that he will at least insert some redirect into the Open Office Wiki, so we have to extend all this stuff around the extension project, but it's an going effort, and we will probably see more stuff round extensions there in the future. Subscribe to the mailing list to get to be informed. Exactly the same for the API mailing list to be informed about API improvements. Give us feedback and send us your requirements, and yeah, simply get started to develop extensions. And especially the non-content extensions are a really easy possibility to provide the first extensions for future Office versions and help to establish some kind of extension repository for OpenOffice. Yeah, maybe in the same way as for Firefox or NetBeans or Eclipse. So they have huge extension bases, and it would be nice to see similar repositories for OpenOffice as well. And yeah, now it's time for some questions. Yes, please.
They are quite related to maybe more to developing extension functionalities. You talk about the first one is you talk about the dependent system, so that you can rely on libraries or things already installed on OpenOffice. So do you have an idea when you will provide a way to access to dependencies easily?
Yeah, so with the next version, it's probably, or it's, I assume that we will introduce some real dependencies. You can't insert dependency text already in the description XML, but you won't do it because otherwise the extension would never be installable in 2.0.4. And yeah, it depends on really on the requirements. So think about dependencies to maybe other extensions. It's probably not so important in the first step, but in the longer term, we will need it. Especially if we go in the direction of my vision picture. But yeah, there is some information available. The specification was announced on the mailing list, so you can read the concept, how it is planned, and yeah, give us feedback.
The three next are self and egoist questions, which are, do you plan some tab widgets? Do you plan some non-modal dialogues with the toolkit you spoke? And the last one was integrating example, the extension in the menu, because at the moment all the extensions are going to the add-on ones. And you can deploy a package which includes directly menus.
Yes, that is already possible, that you don't have to integrate in this tools add-on menu. I think it can be removed so that you can integrate or can provide a completely new menu entry, but it should be also possible to simply integrate, for example, in the file menu. But there is a concept available. I'm not sure if it is really public available, but we talked internally about things like that. It should be available. I'm not sure. But this feature hasn't implemented yet, and I'm not sure when it will be implemented, but it should be possible. And to come back to the missing controls, I'm not sure which control we will provide for the next version. We will maybe start with a quit control, preview control, things like that. I'm not sure, but there is some discussion ongoing, and I think it should be ongoing on the OpenOffice mailing list. So take a look on the API list, for example. Probably there it will be announced and discussed.
Thanks for the presentation. And well, you can do a redirect to the wiki. That would be really great.
It's not a connection. I commented it.
The other thing is, can you name any extensions that have been created already for OpenOffice.org?
You mean integrated in the default distribution?
No, actually,
or do you mean extensions which are available?
Right.
So So maybe you have visit or yesterday the talk from Garnet Yates, so for the reduction tool, for example, this will be, or this is an extension to filter hidden data from a document before you save it, so that you have really the same content in the electronic version of the document as in the printed version. So for example, metadata, hidden text, track changes, which are already part of the document, but not visible when you print the document. And that was a requirement for some special use cases. And they have developed a cool extension to provide this new secure save feature. And for example, they plan to put it back to the OpenOffice project, and that would be really nice. It's currently some kind of copyright and license problems there, I don't know exactly. And in Germany, there are several extensions available. So one extension is for an application which provides functionality to print electronic stamps directly onto the envelopes from the office application. And you have to, you have to pay about some kind of embedded order object which counts how many stamps you printed, and then you have to pay for the stamps. This is also a nice integration, and they provide this extension with their own application and install it during this their own setup into existing Office installations, for example. And I know that there are some extensions available for content management systems, and I don't really know if there are many professional extensions are available, but I think there will come more when it gets easier to develop. So I think maybe I should turn off. I'm sure that there will be coming more, and hopefully also a lot of extensions which are available for free on OpenOffice. So I'm looking forward to a huge extension base, like Thunderbird, for example, or Firefox, which is probably the biggest one.
So am I. And I think in the next 6 months we'll be getting that exactly.
Yeah. Especially these non-content extensions are the easiest way to provide some extensions for existing installations, and I expect that we will get a lot of extensions in this direction, because normal end users can create content for this kind of packages.
Please. I have a technical question. Currently, if I want to integrate OpenOffice with an application, I have two possibilities. I could write an add-on in, say, Java, or I could connect to an existing Office instance and then retrieve a remote context and start calling OpenOffice commands and customizing the interface or whatever. Does it technically make any difference which way I choose? Like, do I get performance improvements if I deploy a UNO package which then runs within OpenOffice? Or is it using the same mechanism?
It's from an API point of view, it's the same, but probably if you integrate it directly into the Office, especially for example if you implement your extension in C++, it would be probably more performant.
And in Java, does it make any difference?
In Java, it is probably also faster in the Office directly, because if I remember correctly, we have some shortcut between the Java bridge and the UNO binary environment in the Office. And if you connect over the remote connection, we have to do some bridging, because we have our remote protocol and it's more work necessary.
And that was my question. If you use for add-ons, if you use the bridging, the same as from a remote
connection? We use some kind of bridging between different languages, so it's always necessary. But if you use a remote connection, there is one bridging step more necessary. So, or at least two steps more.
Yeah.
From Java to the remote protocol and back to the C++. Are there
any plans to create an official website for this extension?
Yeah, it's the site is already available, but no content is currently on the site.
Yeah.
Some information is available in the wiki, system. And yeah, as I mentioned before, we will in the first step we will create a redirect link to the wiki pages, and I expect more information there later on. So,
if you want to help, then I would be happy to help you help.
Of course, sure. Yeah, join the extension project, join the mailing list, and discuss it with Laurent and all of us. So, and
they have a plan to integrate digital signature or such kind of system to protect digital signature or something to protect users of OpenOffice from unwanted bad behavior.
Yeah, probably we will need some functionality going in this direction as well, but we will see. As I mentioned before, we have a strong plan to improve it step by step, and it's probably not the highest priority, but especially for professional service vendors, we need some kind of protection mechanism to to protect their intellectual properties. And I can promise that we will also provide improved development tools. So Stefan and I currently work on some kind of NetBeans integration, which supports some nice and useful development tools. For example, with the current version, it should be possible to develop built-in target-in function, up in, let me say, 5 up to 10 minutes.
Less.
It should be.
Less than 5 minutes.
If you're familiar with the wizard, probably less than five, but it's if you have to read some steps, you will read the description and the already available online help in the system, you will take 10 minutes. So the wizard will generate some kind of code skeleton as an initial step or a startup, and you have to concentrate on the pure implementation of the built-in function only. It's one example of probably more useful and powerful wizards in the future. For example, for add-ons, it will be coming in the future version. So the current version will probably released in hopefully 2 weeks, maybe. We try to release it in the same time frame as 2.0.4, and the used Uno skeleton maker tool can be also used on the command line. So you can create it in other IDEs as well. If Cedric has find time to work again on his started Eclipse plugin, he will use this skeleton maker as well, so that the generated code looks is completely the same as generated with our NetBeans integration, and it can be integrated in other in other IDEs as well. Any further questions?
You said there will be a mechanism to display license registration dialogs.
Yeah.
And we're using OpenOffice on the server side in headless mode. We have been fighting with suppressing or somehow dealing with the initial user registration dialog, because if the registration dialog has not yet been approved, OpenOffice refuses to start in headless mode, and this is then similar things might happen if you install new plugins. There's no way to come to command line and provide license keys or approve license requests, so that you're not able to install a package properly when you're running in headless mode. And I just think it would be great if this would be addressed.
Yeah, for extensions, if you build such a new extension containing some license and deploy it over the command line, the license will simply print it on the console, and you have to accept or reject it. But it's not possible for the initial office license, only for extension.
Yeah.
So, do you plan to provide a machine to provide AutoCAD as well?
Yes, I didn't have. I saw I haven't mentioned it. So I haven't really tested it for AutoCAD, but it should be possible as well with the upcoming version 2.0.4. But I'm not sure. If it is not possible, it will come with a later version.
Can you extend gallery themes, or can you only add new ones?
Good question. I don't know. Maybe in the first step, you probably. I expect that you can only deploy new galleries, but I don't know. But it should be documented as soon as possible, so that you get all the necessary information about it. So, any further question?
How soon can you get this going? How soon can we have this visible on the web and have people?
Which functionality do you mean exactly? The extension stuff, the license feature, or the tooling stuff around the NetBeans
interface? And the infrastructure market.
Yeah, as soon as possible. I don't know. Yeah, we should work on it fast.
Well, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So
the NetBeans integration stuff is already available in the wiki. I haven't really announced it yet because it was outdated. We have more and better features now, and I plan to update the wiki pages next week or the week after, and it should be available with the first release.
Regarding your coding or proposed extension, some things should be occur in the 2 or 3 coming months. Building some simple edges to propose upload. But if anybody wants to come and help, especially on web designing or so on, feel free to contact us. We need it.
So, if no further questions, thanks for being here, and I hope you get a lot of help in your session.